Hello, this is your volunteer broadcaster, Cherise Stevens, reading you today's Yuma Sun Daily with a look at life in and around the Yuma. Let's get started with local news. Our first local news story is titled, Teacher Offers Advice on the First Day of School, by Joe Tapost, Sun staff writer. Monday was the official first day of school for Centennial Middle School. As expected, faculty members were out in full force to welcome the new batch of sixth graders and last year's returning seventh through eighth grade students. Among the faculty is Amanda Solomon, a 22-year teaching veteran who shared that she looks forward to every year. It's definitely the students. They bring something every single day. They're actually the reason why I am here. They're just amazing. They have their own story to tell. They just want to be heard. Without getting too personal, I guess, but they'll tell you everything. And I think that's what I love about them, is they are willing to work for as long as you are there, Solomon said. As she stood outside of Centennial Middle School's breezeway, students greeted Solomon with a wave and smile and the occasional hug. Solomon teaches seventh grade, which she believes is a turning point for the kids. Seventh grade is always a new transition for our incoming seventh graders, but it's a great time. You're going to meet new people. You're going to go do a lot of collaborative activities, she noted. Solomon shared advice for parents and students for the first week of school. Definitely get a good night's sleep. Don't stress. The first week of school is always fun. You're going to see your friends. You're going to meet new people. Back to school schedule. Follows is a list of other school schedules for the region. Tuesday, July 29. Somerton School District, Southwest Technical Education District of Yuma, Welton Elementary School District, YPIC, EOC Charter School, Yuma Union High School District, Desert View Academy, Kindergarten Desert View Middle School, 6th grade, Parker Unified School District, PPEP, TEC High Schools. Thursday, July 31st, Amerischools Desert View Academy, 1st through 5th grade, Desert View Middle School, 7th through 8th grade. Monday, August 4, Mohawk Valley Elementary School District, Yuma School District 1. Tuesday, August 5, Hyder Elementary School District, Southwestern Christian School. Wednesday, August 6, Antelope Union High School District, Gadsden Elementary School District, Harvest Preparatory Academy. Monday, August 11, Immaculate Conception School, San Pascal Valley Unified School District. Next in local news, we have Police Issue Sex Offender Notification, by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer. The Yuma Police Department has issued a Level 2 sex offender notification for Jose Enrique Marquez Lamas, 29, who is now residing at 2015 South Maple Avenue, Unit 2 in Yuma. Marquez Lamas, described as a Hispanic male, stands 5 feet 6 inches tall and weighs 131 pounds. He has brown hair and hazel eyes. According to court records, Marquez Lamas engaged in a sexual relationship with a minor in 2024. He pleaded guilty to sexual conduct with a minor on May 16, 2025 in Yuma County Superior Court. As a Level 2 sex offender, Marquez Lamas is considered to pose an immediate risk of reoffending. Yuma police emphasized that the notification is being made in accordance with Arizona law, which allows for the release of such information to promote public safety. This information is being provided to inform the community, not to incite fear or encourage vigilantism, Officer Hayato Johnson said in a statement. Any misuse of this information to commit a crime will result in prosecution. The Yuma Police Department offers personal safety and neighborhood watch programs to help residents stay informed and proactive. Anyone with information about criminal activity is encouraged to call 928 783 4421 or anonymously through 78Crime 928-782-7464. Tips regarding Marquez Lamas or other offenders can also be directed to Detective Almodova at 928-373-4781. Next in local news is How to Donate Blood by Joe Tapost, Sun staff writer. As winter visitors leave Yuma County seeking refuge from the summer temps, so does majority of the region's volunteer force. But the need doesn't stop when the population drops. Nonprofits still need volunteers and donations. Among the donations needed is blood, and all it will cost is about an hour of time. Organizations like Vitalint collect blood donations, which in turn are distributed to hospitals. Those donations go to help a number of patients, from those involved in accidents to cancer patients. In Yuma County alone, Onvita Health performs more than 550 transfusions a year. To be properly stocked requires 600 people to donate daily, even on holidays. Since that's not the case, blood collection agencies work with companies to set up blood drives. All blood types will be accepted, but type O blood is considered the universal blood type, meaning anyone can use it. Donating blood is simple and usually takes less than an hour. After scheduling an appointment, donors will visit a blood drive location where a technician will take their information and vitals, blood pressure, body temperature, etc., and escort them to a bed where an IV will be inserted by a nurse. In most cases, donors will leave without any issues, but in the event that they feel lightheaded, they will be checked and provided with water and a snack. For those interested in donating, Vitalint will be hosting a blood drive on Thursday, July 31, Friday, August 1, and Saturday, August 2. To schedule a donation, check for available times using the Vitalint app. Visiting www.vitalint.org or call 877-25-VITAL. Our next local news story is titled, County Offers Free Back-to-School Immunization Clinics by Joe Gilbert, Sun staff writer. As the new school year approaches, the Yuma County Public Health District is hosting a series of back-to-school immunization clinics to help families ensure their children are up to date on required vaccines. The clinics will be held at the Yuma Main County Library through Wednesday, July 30, and again from Wednesday, August 6 through Friday, August 8. Clinic hours are 9 to 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. each day. Health officials are encouraging parents and guardians to take advantage of the service to give students a healthy and protected start to the 2025-2026 academic year. The clinics are open to children under 18 years old. A parent or legal guardian must accompany the child, and legal guardians must bring guardianship documentation. There is a $10 fee per child per visit, cash only. However, services will not be denied for those unable to pay, provided they bring proof of Yuma County residency. Required documentation includes immunization record, insurance card if available, proof of Yuma County residency, such as a utility bill or a government-issued ID with a current address. Health officials stress the importance of timely immunization to protect both individual and public health as students return to school. No appointments are necessary. For more information, residents are encouraged to call 928-317-4559 or visit Yuma County Public Health District's website. Our next local news story is titled, Weather This Week, Hot and Dry with Highs Up to 110 by Alex Ibrahimi, Sun staff writer. The National Weather Service forecast for Yuma County this week calls for dry conditions with high temperatures generally near 110 degrees with overnight lows around 80. Throughout the week, there is moderate level risk for heat-related illnesses for pets, livestock, and those sensitive to heat, especially those without effective cooling or adequate hydration. NWS calculated a 10% chance of thunderstorms for Thursday, which could bring lightning, gusty winds, and brief heavy downpours. Dry monsoon season so far. Yuma County has experienced a dry start to the monsoon season, which runs from June 15 to September 30. According to NWS figures, total precipitation for Yuma so far since the start of the monsoon season has been zero. This is not that uncommon for a dry spell like this. Tom Frieders, warning coordination meteorologist at NWS, told the Yuma Sun, Yuma has had 62 years of its history with no measurable zero or a trace rain falling from June 15 to July 26. Some lighter rainfall has occurred in portions of the northeast part of the county, but not much, Frieders said. Heavier rainfall has occurred in areas to the north and east of Yuma County. There's plenty of monsoon season left to make up the ground, he added. NWS listed a summaries of the following severe weather watches, warnings, and advisories to look out for during monsoon season. Severe thunderstorm watch. Conditions are favorable for widespread thunderstorms with damaging winds and even large hail to develop. These are usually issued only when an especially active day is expected. Watch weather reports and conditions closely. Severe thunderstorm warning. A thunderstorm with damaging winds of 60 miles per hour or greater is about to occur or is already underway. These winds could also produce a dust storm with visibilities below 1/4 mile. Hail over 3/4 inches in diameter or larger is also possible. Take cover now. Note that heavy rain doesn't always accompany a severe thunderstorm. Dust storm warning. A dust storm with visibilities of 1/4 mile or less is about to strike or has already developed. Pull off the road now. Wind gusts between 40 to 60 miles per hour are also likely. If winds associated with a dust storm are 60 miles per hour or greater, then a severe thunderstorm warning is issued instead. Tornado warning. A tornado has been sighted and is still on the ground or is about to develop based on radar information. Take cover now. Flash flood watch. Conditions are favorable for flash flooding over large or multiple areas of the region. These are usually issued only when an especially active day is expected. Watch weather reports and conditions closely. Flash flood warning. Life-threatening rapid flooding is about to occur or is already underway. Move to higher ground now. It is particularly dangerous to be in a low-lying or near a watch. Urban and small stream flood advisory. Minor flooding is expected or underway in low-lying and flood-prone areas. While it may not be life-threatening, extreme caution is advised, particularly for motorists. The same flash flood safety rules apply. Hazardous weather outlook. Issued anytime there is a risk of strong winds, heavy rain, flash flooding, and/or dust storms. These outlooks provide advanced and detailed information on what the main thunderstorm hazards are expected to be, how widespread, and when. For more information or monsoon season, visit NWS's monsoon web page. You are listening to the Yuma Sun Daily with Charisse Stevens of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Our next local news story is titled, Meet SRO Eduardo Hernandez, SOR at 4th Avenue Junior High. As the 2025-26 school year begins, the Yuma Police Department is reintroducing its team of school resource officers, starting with Officer Eduardo Hernandez, who serves at 4th Avenue Junior High School. Hernandez, a 10-year veteran of the department, has spent the past 5 years dedicated to school safety and student engagement in his role as an SRO. He is well known among students and staff at Fourth Avenue, where he begins another year serving as a trusted presence on campus, the department noted. We are here as a resource for you and your children, Hernandez said. Outside of work, Hernandez enjoys spending time with his family. His commitment to both his community and personal life reflects the department's broader mission to strengthen ties with local families and youth. YPD officials said they look forward to highlighting more SROs throughout the school year and emphasized their ongoing partnership with schools across the city. The Yuma Police Department also encouraged students, parents, and staff to connect with their campus SRO and to work together to foster a safe learning environment throughout the year. Go Falcons, the department added in a nod to 4th Avenue Junior High's mascot. Our last local news story is titled, In the Field, Date Harvesting, Why the Bags? By Yuma County Cooperative Extension. Arizona date growers are currently engaged in the annual process of bagging dates, a crucial step for successful harvest. While many might assume bagging primarily protects against birds, there are several other important reasons for this practice, especially considering the local climate. Dr. Glenn Wright, Associate Extension Specialist at the University of Arizona, informed us. One key reason for bagging, particularly relevant during monsoon season, is to keep moisture off the fruit. Excess water can lead to mold, including the undesirable black aspergillus mold, and cause the dates to ferment due to naturally present yeast on their skin. For keeping the dates drier, growers can significantly reduce fermentation and mold growth. In addition to moisture control, bagging also prevents ripe fruit from falling to the ground, ensuring it can be harvested, and protects against pests like birds and even bats. The type of bag used is also important. Modern date bags are typically made from high-density polyethylene netting, allowing essential airflow. This airflow helps reduce humidity around the dates while still offering protection from rain and pests. Interestingly, the color of the bag can influence ripening speed, with white bags accelerating the process and black bags slowing it down. Growers may also choose different weave tightness based on soil humidity in their specific growing area. Unlike some regions, like California, Arizona growers face fewer problems with pests like the carob moth. This is largely due to effective post-harvest practices in Arizona, which include drying dates at around 50 degrees Celsius and freezing them, both of which kill moth eggs. Additionally, not allowing dates to drop to the ground contributes to good field sanitation and reduces moth populations. The harvest date in Arizona typically begins around the third week of August, often around the 20th, and can continue into late October. While bags may be put up now, some growers might wait to tie them more securely when the dates begin to brown. The primary purpose of these bags at this stage is to catch fruit. Our first story in state news is called Research Shows Swag Doesn't Translate to Voting by Howard Fisher, Capital Media Services. Sure, it's nice to buy a cap, a t-shirt, or even a coffee mug with the name of your favorite candidate. But some new research suggests you're far less likely to turn out on election day to help that candidate than if you had donated the same amount of money. It does not end there. Anastasia Gosch, a marketing professor at the University of Arizona who headed up the research team, said those participate in the high visibility support by purchasing campaign swag also are less likely to volunteer to help that candidate's campaign than those who gave small amounts of money. And Gosch said her research gives her a pretty good idea of why. People who do things that are visible to others seem to believe they've done their bit for the cause. And at that point, she said, they are less likely to follow through with the more less visible things like volunteering, and in this case, voting. Me buying something and carrying it around, using it in my household, others observing me, seems that I have done more for the candidate, she explained, of the attitude of those who flout campaign items. But Gosch said, there is a certain irony in all that. She said those visible acts actually can hurt. If I'm a campaign manager, you buying a t-shirt from me is a lot less lucrative for me, if you will, than giving me that money right away, she said. I have to create a t-shirt. I have to ship it to you. And the money that's left over is really small, Gosch continued. But me, as a consumer, I feel like I've done more for you. The message to campaign managers, she said, is a little less emphasis on getting the supporters to wear your candidate's t-shirt, and a little more on getting them to the polls. At least part of the effort, she said, is whether others will notice. One experiment cited is where people were asked to wear a candidate's t-shirt. Some were told they would be wearing it in a nearly empty grocery store. Others were told they would be in a more crowded spot. The effect was much stronger when people were around, Gosch said. For those who were more visible, less likely to then do other things like convince undecided voters. All that, she said, ties to her conclusion that visibility matters. It's called impression management, which includes a desire to be seen. If I have made my donation to a candidate, in most cases, nobody knows about it, Gosch said. If I spend an equivalent amount of money to put a t-shirt on myself with the name of my candidate, I understand that other people will see, she said. If I'm surrounded by people who are similar to me, that's probably a positive impression. All this, she told Capital Media Services, provides a crucial lesson for those running candidate campaigns. Selling those buttons and bumper stickers won't necessarily translate to victory on election day. Still, she said, there may be times when the more visible signs of support, like the t-shirts and the yard signs, actually are more valuable to a candidate, even if the people buying the items or erecting the signs ultimately don't turn out at the polls. When you're starting out the campaign, your goal is to signal to the world or your constituents that you have a very popular candidate, Gosch explained. And that means showing there are people who have rallied behind them. Maybe it's worth investing into asking for merchandise that will be publicly worn, she said. Maybe the person who bought it is not going to be a voter, Gosch continued, but maybe others who will observe it will. But that effort, Gosch said, only goes so far. Put another way, Gosch said a candidate may have, it's great that person put out a yard sign, but I need you to show up. She even has given a name to all of this, political slacktivism, a term Gosch said was suggested by one of her students. I do demonstrate that I'm engaged, is the attitude of those buying or displaying merchandise on signs, she said. I support my candidate, Gosch said, but I'm not doing the hard thing, which is actually showing up to vote. It isn't just about voting. Gosch said she found the same effect where people who purchase candidate campaign items are less likely to be the ones to volunteer their time, making phone calls and going door to door to drop off campaign materials. All of the conclusions, she said, are based on multiple sources of information. Gosch said there is some historical data going back to 2016 where people are asked whether they had yard signs and bumper stickers and whether in the end they voted. That, she said, was designed to ensure that any new findings were not aberrations. She also reviewed surveys conducted during the 2020 national election of people who declared themselves to be supporters of one party or the other. They were monitored from the time of the national conventions through November. What that showed, Gosch said, is that those who bought political swag were 91% less likely to go to the polls than those who had made financial donations. Finally, there were studies done with students. In one case, some students were told they made a small donation in the form of buying a $5 political button. Then they were given the button and told to wear them. Other students were simply told that a $5 donation was made on their behalf.
In both cases, students were asked how many text messages they would be willing to send out on behalf of the party and how many calls they would make for the party. And what Gosch said she found was that those who got the merchandise were less likely to have further engagement with their political party than those who were told they had given money. The weather forecast for this week, starting with Wednesday, July 30, will have a low of 76 degrees, a high of 110 degrees, average humidity of 24%, and 2 to 6 mph winds. Thursday will see a low of 78, a high of 108, an average humidity of 25%, and 2 to 9 mph winds. Friday will see a low of 80, high of 112, 18% humidity, 2 to 7 mph winds. And Saturday will see a low of 77, a high of 110, average of 12% humidity, and 2 to 6 mph winds. All of this week, the UV index is 11, which is rated as extreme by the World Health Organization, who also recommends sun protection from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. We have reached the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun Daily. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Cherise Stevens. Thank you for tuning in today. If you missed any part of this program, you can go to our website, sunsounds.org, and listen to it on demand under broadcast info and audio. The Wall Street Journal is next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.